Hi, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically, we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Pippin, and I do not appreciate this movie's fascination with spiders.
I'm Kat, and I think that Pippin's sexy villainous name would be Academia.
Fair.
I am Alex, and I believe in uniting our two oceans.
And I'm Brendan, and truth be told, I probably would make giant mechanical walking death spiders.
God damn it.
I support you in all of your decisions if I get a ride to work.
When I made my notes, I always put giant mechanical spider in all caps.
Maybe this is like the rule with the, you know, can you title your story Murder Stan the Dane? Can you put a gigantic mechanical spider into it? If not, are you doing the right story?
But first, what are we talking about with these giant mechanical spiders, Pip?
Today, we're talking about the 1999 movie Wild Wild West. So spoilers abound. If you want other specific content warnings, check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com. Thanks to listener Tim for the request.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks.
For those of you who haven't seen the movie, the summary from Google is when President Ulysses S. Grant learns that diabolical inventor Dr. Arliss Loveless is planning to assassinate him, he orders Civil War hero James West and U.S. Marshal Artemus Gordon to arrest him. West's trigger-happy personality doesn't always mesh well with that of the thoughtful Gordon, but they manage to work together. And with the help of a mysterious stranger, West and Gordon close in on Loveless.
Help is a strong word for Selma Hayek's character there, but I digress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is yet more proof that these reviewers, the people who write these notes, don't actually watch these movies.
Or they read the script.
Yeah. Grant didn't even know who Loveless was alive until he showed up at Utah.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
They thought he bloated up, right?
Yeah. Super so, dead.
So to just do a perhaps more accurate summation, the villain that we all initially think is going to be the bad guy, except, you know, we're storytellers, so we know he's not actually the villain.
Bloodbath McGrath.
Bloodbath McGrath, who is famous for, within the story, for doing the Massacre of New Liberty, which was a over-the-border freed slave town. And then it wasn't, because it got shot up.
And also gave our hero, Jim West, his tragic backstory.
Gotta have a tragic backstory.
So tragic.
And, so backstory. Well, I mean, like, actually, it is pretty tragic.
Such backstory, oh, yeah. Much tragic.
Yeah. So he's out to get Bloodbath McGrath, and in the course of doing so, discovers that Arliss Loveless is still alive, who I guess was some dude in the Civil
Confederate inventor?
I guess, in the South. He was a dude. Everybody thought he was dead. Whoops-a-daisy, he wasn't. And somehow that's bad. And he, you know, is out to convince everyone that, in fact, yes, it's terrible because he has giant spiders.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know about the giant spiders until the very end of the movie, end. Right?
So he wasn't exactly subtle about the, you know, spider thing.
Really, no.
Yeah.
I've branded myself with spiders.
What he's actually doing is he has contacted various superpowers around the world, has offered them the use of essentially a machine gun on a tank with 360-degree action.
And karate chop.
And says, look, I will give you this technology and coincidentally maybe other technology as well, because I am so super great at this, if you let me have this portion of the U.S., and I'll give you these portions of the U.S., it'll be awesome. For whatever reason, he needs Ulysses S. Grant to sign something to agree to this break.
Well, listen, yeah. You can't give away something that doesn't belong to you. That's just not polite.
I think with that tank, yes, you can.
Yeah, with a giant mechanical spider, all caps again, you can just say, this is the signature. You don't need all the formality there.
Or they could have, like, he could have just turned him into one of the weird, like, our friend Loveless here also has, I'm assuming it's him, has the ability to create weird mechanical men, human cyborgs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that came out of kind of nowhere.
Yeah, and he could frankly do that with Grant. You know, add a metal plate, you're done.
Yeah. Hmm.
Or create a android body double.
Many things. Ooh, oh, yeah. But Loveless is wandering around also having several attractive women be his hench people who all have clever names, quote unquote. Munisha.
She uses guns.
Oh, Lippin Reader? That's a good one.
Oh. I didn't take notes like that.
Oh, I took notes.
You should have seen her.
I want everyone to know that I stopped taking notes like 10 minutes in because I was like, no. <"Nope." laughs> I got to the point where I wrote down half-dressed Will Smith and Kevin Kline in drag walk into a bar. And at that point, I was all like, you know what? I'm just going to watch the movie.
I think I was of similar state, Pip. If you can imagine, like, you know that episode of The Simpsons where the brain's going like, oh, Homer, you can stay here and watch this, but I'm going elsewhere. And then the brain flies away. That was me.
Yeah.
Oh, guys. Was I the only one who took this seriously?
Oh, no, I took a lot of notes after the fact because...
Oh, I didn't go that far. I made mental notes. I was like, oh, look at all that homophobia and racism and misogyny, ableism.
Ableism. Yeah. Oh, that was a good one.
That was one of the most cringy scenes I've encountered in quite a while.
Which one?
The face-off between racism versus ableism. Is that the correct term?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and ableism is the correct term.
I'm going to be racist at you.
Well, I'm going to be ableist at you.
Which one of us is going to have the moral high ground after this?
Doesn't matter, because the audience is the loser all the way around.
Yay!
Apparently, this movie is based off a TV show from the 60s.
Yes.
I
look called up.
It's me too. Yeah,
we all
sounds
did.
Like you're goddamn professionals.
And in that one, Loveless, who's still the villain but has a different first name, is actually a little person.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, though, I actually was going to watch some of the episodes and then I didn't. But...
You have more self-respect than that.
I don't know. Apparently, it was incredibly highly rated.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, it was pretty good for, you know, a TV show in the 60s.
Actually, do you guys know why it got canceled?
Because of all the violence.
Because it got chopped because of Congress being upset about the violence on television.
Yeah. Wow.
Because it was like right after possibly the assassination of JFK.
Vietnam. Vietnam was going on television. It wasn't that violent. That's clearly causing a problem. That's the problem with America.
So we're looking at violent television shows, and the Wild Wild West was one of the most violent.
Because they had at least one brawl per episode.
It was the most violent even after they toned it down.
Man, I kind of want to watch some of it now.
Yeah, it was apparently incredibly well rated. And it always had, like, it had clever titles, too. Like, it always started with The Night Of, you know, and there was, like, mystery, and there was steampunk, and there was, like, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. You know, quick sidebar here. Mm. The steampunk in this movie, I kind of felt like they didn't commit enough to it as a world. Because it seems to me that if you have... Just two inventors shown in this movie creating essentially mechanized wonders, and then everybody else is like going like, "Oh yeah, yeah, that was cool."
Yeah, that seems right.
I think that there would be enough of that tech out there in the world that we'd see some of it bleed over, right?
Yeah.
I wish there was more of a direct. Like, clearly, Loveless is on par with, if not better than. Artemis Gordon, the U.S. Marshal / inventor. But we don't see that that battle of wits, of science. We don't see that. And such a wasted...
You get kind of with the, like, oh, let's make a flying machine in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
We invented flight that quickly. Yay! And then that cringy as hell Air Gordon joke.
It was the Aragorn joke was like a punchline for a joke they didn't need.
Earn.
Yeah.
Need earn.
Like, if it just said in passing, you know, like in the middle of the scene and they kept talking, it still wouldn't have been great. They shouldn't have done it, but it wouldn't have felt so incredibly awkward. Speaking of awkward.
Yes.
This movie's fascination with sex and phallic objects.
And cross-dressing.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Like it went beyond raunchy humor to, like, this weird obsession where I was like, do you need to talk to your therapist about this?
They had a fixation on dicks.
They really did.
It was fetishistic, guys. I mean, it was...
So many.
They kept on fixating on Lovelace's inability to, which again is, you know, wow.
I'm kind of wondering if they're inspired, I used finger quotes just then, by his name there.
Actually, one of the things that I thought worked well was the fact that nobody said anything about what all the chains and swings and hooks and so forth were for on the bed. There was no gags about it. There was no particular attention paid. It was just there, and it let it sit for the audience to be like, oh. Because then it puts it in the audience's mind.
Or Kevin Clyde saw it in the script, was like, no.
I mean, to be fair, that strikes me as the kind of thing that would mad genius who also happens to be an inventor seems to work out. Wow. The part where Rita, Selma Hayek, was in a literal fucking birdcage next to it, that was stupid.
So much weird stuff with her character, right?
It's not my husband. It's my father. Wait. It's not my father, it's my husband.
I just said that to make a rivalry for you two. That works?
And I'm actually looking for my father, so I'm definitely going to hinder your ability to do this thing.
I know that we're about to get caught, but let me just make it a little bit more humiliating and faster. Here's the sleeping bomb. Ba-ding!
Thanks.
I think it was a waste of Selma Hayek.
It was a huge waste. It really was.
That brings me back to the other obsession of this movie, butts.
Yeah.
Mm.
Butts and boobs. Okay, here's the thing. You've got a Western. Western by itself, already pretty fucking interesting. You've got the steampunk inventor-scientist element, pretty fucking great. You have a giant spider. I'll put it in there. I think a giant spider is amazing. And you have the two unlikely guys who have to pair up. He's a this thing. They fight crime. You didn't have to add a sexual rivalry. It was unnecessary.
Yeah, they have a rivalry of methodologies and they want to, I don't know, impress Grant Senpai.
Yeah. Oh my God, I actually would totally go for that. I'm sorry. Just the president being like, no. Both of you go to your room. But what did I say?
It's kind of what the movie ends with.
Which is good. I'll take that. I mean, yes, we need more women in Hollywood. It is good that there were women, but were they women or were they sexy lamps?
Yeah.
Hmm. So one thing I was going to say earlier, with the two main characters who kind of have a rivalry going on, the steampunk element and going on wacky adventures together.
Mm-hmm.
The show Briscoe County Jr. had that.
Yay!
And it's Bruce Campbell, so it's fun.
Aww.
It kind of goes downhill halfway through, but whatever.
Well, what's weird, though, is that we've talked in the past about how you do have to deal with your source material. If a book, adapting from a book or from a video game, you're stuck with certain things. In this case, they ruined?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Like, apparently in the TV show, Artemis Gordon and Jim West were close. They were good friends. You know, and that's where, that's where a lot of they solved stuff together. It was, you know, but they did it in different ways.
This could tie into my story treatment there.
Ooh.
Where, like, you know, it could be the story about how they formed that bond in the first place, because that doesn't appear out of nowhere. So,
mm-hmm.
that could be the story you want to tell. Is the only point I'm making. They didn't do it well in this movie, obviously.
No.
Well, it's an origin story.
Oh, yeah, it's an origin. Yeah.
And I don't think that they addressed it as such.
No. They didn't resolve, really, by the end. They kind of hugged when they were in the buzzsaw magnet trap, but then they still kind of have a little rivalry going on, but then Will Smith accepts Kevin Kline's wearing drag ways.
Why?
Which I think was them understanding each other.
Also, what is the security on that spider bot? How did Will Smith get onto it?
flying machine?
I believe he seduced his way in.
Well, there was the presentation in Utah first, and then the spider, right?
I don't know, right? Man.
I don't remember. This is what happens when I don't take notes.
They constructed the flying machine in order to land onto the spider, and then a fight ensues. And cyborgs are there that weren't established earlier in the movie.
God forbid.
A lot wasn't established.
Baraka loses.
The cross-dressing happened before the flying into the hornets thing.
Yes.
Oh, flying into the spider, rather. So the spider was sort of parked outside because they had to grant to it. So Will Smith snuck into the presentation thing. And the question is, how did he get there? Because they traveled and the train was broken.
Oh, that was teleportation.
Yeah.
There we go.
Horses are used incorrectly in this film.
I felt bad for Will Smith's horse at the very beginning of the movie when he just leaves it behind somewhere in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, when he goes to jump off the train. But also when Will Smith steals a horse from the two-horse carriage.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't work, man. Next thing you know, you have a fucking horse going around in circles. That's what happens.
Oh.
But also there was a mistake. I saw power lines. But I'd be willing to forgive a lot. And I mean a lot. Like, magnets don't work that way. I'd be willing to forgive that.
I was going to say, magnets, how do they work?
Science? Pretty sure gravity would not be happy with the weight of all that metal. You know, I'd be fine with a lot of things if there was a real story. Something that wasn't just a collection of sex rivalry jokes and sex-related jokes. If they didn't keep dropping stuff. I mean, okay, so why did they have the nitro? What was the point of getting the nitro in the very beginning?
To be a distraction.
No, because that nitro was not meant to blow up anything. So if they had kept the nitro, what was it for?
Was it just part of general munitions for the spider bot? But since it did have shoot booms.
It's a plot hole, Kat. Let's move on.
Yes, because that's totally not what we talk about all the fucking time.
We don't have a fix for that one.
the writers didn't either. look, the script said we need an explosion by minute 11.
Minute 11. Also, we just talk for just a moment? How annoying is it that the first instant that we get of Artemis Gordon's inventions, the fact that he's an inventor, the fact that he is, you know, a genius in his way, is from a fucking punch flower. It sets him up for stupidity.
No, he was played up as the comic relief, and Will Smith, Jim West, was the main character.
Which is too bad, because have they ever met Kevin Klein?
Academy Award winning Kevin Klein? Mm-hmm.
Kevin Klein, who, I'm sorry, I still think about when it comes to A Fish Called Wanda.
I've never watched it.
What about Fierce Creatures?
Oh my god.
I don't know that one either. I have watched In and Out.
Okay, wow. No. All right, we're going to watch A Fish Called Wanda. That's it. Put it on the list.
Put it on the list.
All right.
So I think we are at the time where we can start talking about story treatments.
Story treatments? What?
Yeah, because we firmly established that the story didn't really have much of a plot.
So let's see what we can rescue from it. Unless somebody actually wants to fix the movie with the constraints therein. No, I'm not. I'm just gonna steal shit.
Yeah. I might give it a shot. I might. I'm feeling good.
You're feeling it. You're feeling it.
Put me in the ring.
You heard that, guys.
Oh, shit.
You go first. Shove.
Oh.
This is what you get for making casual jokes.
Damn. Damn me and my
banter.
Jokey mouth.
Okay, Brent. You gotta aim for the body. Aim for the body and the head will fall.
Aim for the body of the script? Okay.
Yes.
Well, speaking of that, all right. Story changes start off with in this fictional universe, if I'm making Wild Wild West the movie. Uh-huh. First things first, I'm upping the steampunk element because, frankly, why not? I mean, we have, like, giant mechanical spiders. We have rocket-powered bicycles. We have all this stuff. What's that?
A penny farthing.
Oh, sorry. Rocket-propelled penny farthings. We have all this. And that didn't seem to necessarily gain a lot of attention from all the passers-by in Washington, so I assume that they're not as uncommon as you might think in this fictional post-Civil War America. So that's one thing I want to put in there, is just more steampunk, and then that could put up that aspect that we were talking about earlier, where we could have, like, an inventor off between Lovelace and Artemis. Likewise, I'd probably keep Bloodbath McGrath there later on, so that way we have West versus McGrath, we have Lovelace versus Artemis, so you have mind versus physical combat, you know, that kind of dynamic going. Because frankly, I think we were just talking about it not a few minutes ago, Kevin Kline criminally underused in the movie and was just comedy. It was the comedy relief, when really, I think in the original show, they were partners, right? That's the dynamic we're supposed to be playing.
He was supposed to be the man of a thousand faces. He was a master of disguise and did inventions.
The disguises weren't good in that movie.
No.
Well, it's like being obvious.
Well, he did make a decent fur trapper.
True. He was an excellent French-Canadian.
I'll give him that.
Alouette, gentille, alouette.
no link to that.
Q taking office workers of their coats.
Thank you, Kitzmull.
Now, that is the thing I would definitely playing up here, is the origin of this two-man team and how they have to realize, like, they have to work together in order to rescue the president and save the world, maybe in that order. You know, play up the steampunk, play up Artemis's role in that, because steampunk's much more of a figure in here. Other changes I'd do, I would get Selma Hayek a bit more involved, because again, we like having her around. She's, you know, Selma Hayek, she's awesome. I am proposing here that she is actually a member of the proto-CIA.
Yeah.
And she is actually looking for all the missing scientists.
That's kind of what I thought she was doing.
Yeah.
That would be better.
You know how the train guy was secretly a marshal? What if she was secretly the one who was there to oversee them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking of, is you know, she's making sure that no matter what, the scientists get rescued. And, oh, by the way, the president's been kidnapped now? Well, shit. Okay. Things have gone south now. Mm-hmm. Will Smith and Kevin Kline are now expendable assets. Let's rescue the president. Yay.
Never send a man to do a woman's job.
Precisely. It's just because I want her to be a bit more involved with some significant agency in the film.
Yeah.
Women with agency? Yeah.
What?
I know. Crazy, right? And then maybe she can stab one of the bad guys in the back or something, because that might be fun as a spy. I don't know.
You and your spies.
Spies.
Spy assassin.
Spy assassin.
Yeah, so that's where her role is. She's looking for all the missing scientists, whereas West and Gordon are looking kind of like for Bloodbath McGrath, and later for Lovelace's giant mechanical spider.
Giant mechanical spider. Sorry, that sounds really weird.
And I'm even thinking, like, we can have something cool like jetpack wielding kidnappers taking the president away or something like that, just to up the steampunk element rather than kind of an unceremonious kidnapping at a railroad crossing.
Was anybody else really disappointed by the introduction of the spider? Not by its existence, but by how it just popped up. There was no like ominous, what is that thing? That's no moon.
Like no shadow against.
No shadow. Yeah.
Is that spider big or just really close up? Oh, no, it's really, really big.
And now it's really close up. Well, shit.
Also, frankly, they're on a fucking prairie, and everyone's like, do you remember Monty Python, the Holy Grail, with the, when I guess Lancelot or whatever was running towards the castle? And then all the guards were like, huh. And it's like, they keep replaying the same footage over and over of Lancelot really far away running towards the castle. And then in like 2 seconds, he whaps them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like with the spider. People are like, Huh.
Ah! Oh, shit. CG. Ah!
It's a gigantic mechanical spider and the prairie. It would have been noticeable.
Yeah. From several miles away.
Several.
You could have done like a cool reveal of like, oh, it was hiding in the Grand Canyon and they walk over to the edge.
That would have been so cool. That would have been cool. So fucking cool.
Yeah.
I don't mind a giant mechanical spider. I really don't. I just think that it was an underused giant mechanical spider.
I would have put a bit more foreshadowing of the mechanical spider, like
as opposed to
emphasis spiders. On mechanical part. So like having like the actuation parts be kind of hinted at earlier on, rather than having this giant mechanical spider, all caps. Remember, that's the rule.
The only real clue about it was that this master of hydraulics was kidnapped.
Let's see. One other thing I'd get rid of, and I kind of feel bad for it because I love Will Smith as an actor nowadays. 90s era Will Smith, I don't think fit well in a Western, even Western steampunk aesthetic. Because it kind of felt like Men in Black again.
Yeah.
Well,
which happened first?
Oh, Men in Black.
Men in Black.
Yeah.
Okay. Men in Black was 97.
This was, think of the difference between Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It's this, I believe it's the same director. It's like Barry Sonnenfeld or something like that. It's got Will Smith doing a catchy rap.
Easily the best part of the movie, though.
the best part of the movie is that guy that goes, "You're going straight to
Cisco."
Yeah, that is the best part of the movie, hands down.
Wait, I need everybody to know that when Will Smith performed Wild Wild West at the Grammys that year, he rode in on an actual horse.
That's hot. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to betray.
Did he poop on stage?
I don't know.
Remember way back in Dracula? Have we done Dracula?
No.
Oh, whoops. Never mind. Okay, so I'm thinking of a different thing. Ages ago, I believe I said during one of the podcasts that I have a thing for people who cha-chink, cha-chunk their shotguns.
Oh, yeah.
You said that Twilight. During Twilight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
You tried to cast yourself up.
I did. Here's the thing. Will Smith does it in this, and I'm fine with that.
Well, that's the thing. Again, nothing against Will Smith, but the direction that he was given for it, not the right way, because it tied into that pop culture thing with the Eric Gordons. It felt weird given the time. It's supposed to be kind of a period piece, so why make it feel 90s?
For me, I didn't mind it. Like, I was down to it. What I didn't like was the intersection of that with the racism. Like, cool Will Smith belongs in a historic steampunk thing, but not dealing with
the racist part.
Like, that. Like, he's not gonna, you know, it starts looking like a minstrel show where he has to shivvy and where he has to cheer up the white folks so they don't strangle him.
Yeah, we were meant to laugh at a lynching.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. And that makes it very uncomfortable.
Interesting note. Will Smith in 2009 apologized to Conrad, Jim West's original actor, for that movie.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
The original actor accepted all the Razzies that year.
Nice. It's just, it felt weird for me. It took me out of the movie.
Hey. I mean, I was out of the movie from the moment that they were swimming and having sexy times in the water tower.
Yeah.
Well, that's the train water.
Is it the train's water? Is it though?
Yeah. Yeah. It's next to the train tracks and it has the spout on the side. That's meant for the steam.
I was more questioning how they got up there, why they got up there, how clean is that water?
Why there was a bed?
How cold is that water?
When the thing collapses, shouldn't that not happen? Because I didn't think the carriage had that much force to take down a water tower.
It was leaning already and one of the supports taken out.
Yeah.
Depending on how many sexy times were going on in that water tower.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not structurally intact.
How long was Will Smith in town?
I will say, leaving aside the hideous racism and other isms, of which there were many, this was a fairly diverse cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
kind of wish they did more, but
I wish they'd done it correctly.
I think technically two women talk to each other about something other than a man.
So it passes the Bechdel test?
Wait, what was it? They both named?
Was it Munisha and...
If it was Munisha and Lippenreader, did they... No, they were talking about a man, because they were talking to Rita about how she'd enjoy it.
Oh, I thought... you're right. Well, okay, but two people of color talked about something other than a man, because...
Is that even a rule?
Other than a white person, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
Because what's her head, Ming La East, because that's not racist. And Jim Westward sort of arranging a
Tristy thing?
Tristy thing.
Wasn't that all couched in the, this is love, this is party. Let's talk about Loveless. You're here to investigate Loveless.
Well, no, when they are in the room while she's distracting him from trying to get him killed, technically they're talking about their tryst. I don't know. It's like a slim pass if it is.
Yeah, if East meets West, guys.
White people probably wrote it.
Probably.
White people definitely wrote that.
But yeah, overall, I'm trying to adapt the screenplay to make it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Basically, origin story, we're going to have them learn to work together, but actually have it be cool and interesting. Selma Hayek's a spy, and we're not going to have the weird sexual rivalry aspect either, because, ew. I mean, maybe this is weird. Is it just me, or did the whole entire New Liberty plot line not really have as much oomph as it could have in the original Wild Wild West movie? So we could play that up a little bit more, kind of make it like actual traumatic backstory.
Are you adding that to your story, or are you passing the torch to someone else?
Somebody else can elaborate on it more. I don't really know what to do with it.
All right, so Brent, is that your fix?
It's my adjustment. How about that?
Sounds
fair
good.
Enough.
Who's next? Alex.
Oh shit! All right. Here is what I have been thinking. First, cut out McGrath.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my first thinking too, but I kept it in the end.
Well, because he just kind of ends up being, oh, now we have to feel kind of sorry for this Confederate guy.
It wasn't actually me who killed your parents.
I mean, it was,
Jim
but...
West.
I mean, I did fight for the Confederacy, and still really do. I still dress in the uniform of a Confederacy, so, you know.
I was just following orders, and we all know that that is totally a legitimate excuse to do anything, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
And also, he's just kind of, you know, eh.
I love his name, though.
Oh, yeah, McGrath.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I actually really liked his ear thing. Like, I thought that was a very subtle nod toward the sort of an introduction to the body modification that we get later.
Yeah.
Well, again, in my original idea, I almost played him up a bit more just so he lasts to the end of the movie.
So instead of, you know, them just being, you know, following McGrath and then suddenly, oh, hey, Loveless is here for them, they're instead tracking this shadow that is, you know, going across the land, stealing scientists, causing mayhem and leading them to Utah.
So does, like, the president give them the task of, like, tracking down this crime wave and the kidnappings?
Yeah, and someone is behind this.
Ah, So you're almost adding a mystery element to it.
You're Moriarty-ing it.
Well, they're clearly trying to play him up as a Moriarty type.
Yeah, super genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think he'd not try to attract attention from every single federal law enforcement in the country that existed at the time. What?
And he clearly has a calling card. He made sure that his spinning blades of death were embossed with spiders on them.
Spiders.
Is embossed the right word?
Yeah.
Okay. Engraved.
Eh. Engrave is when you cut it. Emboss is when it's like sticking out, I believe.
Oh, then I used it correctly. Aha. And like you, I also had Selma Hayek not be a sexy lamp, but I wasn't thinking proto-CIA, but more of like one of the foreign powers who's not invited to Loveless's show investigating inside the U.S.
Quick sidebar. Would a lot of those foreign powers really have gone for that plan? Oh, or no. Do you think they would have tried to negotiate with Congress for better, like, trade negotiations at that point
that
in the country's history?
Oh, fuck no. With the tank, I think that that's actually a very good... Remember what happened with World War I? We went from cavalry and infantry to getting fucking mown down thanks to the advent of machine guns. Like, it was a huge, huge change to war. And it, like, it was devastating. And so, yeah, like, this is machine guns popping up early. And they stuck it onto other stuff, but...
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Civil War was also had new war invention. And
yeah, aren't we just a great species?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Like, I don't know what the other countries were doing at the time or how they felt about America.
Canada! Can she be Canadian?
Yes.
I want her to be Canadian.
Oh, she's like a secret division of the Mounties. Yes.
That'd be amazing.
Like, that's not... Let me show you how to ride.
Damn.
Oh, my God. And then she puts on the hat, like, all the way at the end, and says, "Hey."
Hey, boys.
And that's why she trusted him at the start.
Oh, because he was just like a French-Canadian trapper.
Oh, God.
That is an amazing tie-in.
I don't mind if it's stupid and over the top. It just has to make sense. That's why I do not mind Kenneth Branagh's Loveless. Like, the way he portrayed that, he chewed the fucking scenery, and I was down for it.
Just with a little less racism.
Yeah. That part's not that great.
Yeah.
Really, give Kenneth Branagh a part where he can chew the scenery, and he's happy.
Oh, yeah.
Here, Kenneth. Here's some scenery.
Lightly salted.
Nom, 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 nom. But yeah, so like the idea of her putting on her hat saying, eh, and like just, oh my God, that's amazing.
Characters and their actors. It reminds me, have a Grant played by someone else.
No, I love Kevin Kline as Grant.
It doesn't work for me. The dialogue is so jilted.
Oh, I like it.
It was distracting.
Yeah.
How about that?
It was a one-off joke.
Well, the one-off joke was to plant later on that he'd be the body double for Grant, but the problem with that was that they didn't really have a payoff necessarily for the body double in the end.
Mm.
It was like, wasn't it like pretty quickly revealed?
Yeah. They just said, take them both. I'm like, cool.
Well, they could have taken them both and then not undone his costume. So you still could have been not sure which was the real Grant.
And so the one who had to invent the flying bicycle is Ulysses S. Grant.
Come along, Jim.
Shoot us,
I made Spock. This flying machine.
Well, then they could have done a thing where, like, let's say they brought actually Gordon, like, dressed as Grant. They're like, oh, this must be the real Grant. They brought him into the spider. And then so you have him working from the inside, and you have Jim West working from the outside. And they both meet at the middle. That would have been so great.
You could have had an awesome, like...
Oh, my God, they could have met in the middle, much like the railroad.
Yeah.
And their hearts.
Yeah, it would have been a metaphor for their ideologies meeting in the middle and compromising.
Boom.
Hey, yeah, we just fixed a part of the movie, you guys.
Yeah.
And Gordon, to get out, has to actually fight, and West has to use his ingenuity to get onto the spider.
Does anybody else feel how great it was when they shone the light through the dude's head and did that level of science, and then how stupid all the rest of it was?
I did like Will Smith's, that is a man's head.
Yeah.
But like the science involved, that was just so cool.
And the eye thing is actual scientific theory that I don't think actually works in practice, but you know, people used to actually think, yo, that's totally what happens. It's a plot point in a Terry Pratchett novel.
Yep.
Totally works.
You know, like, it was also a cool bit of, like, this is the kind of, like, funky bullshit I want to see. This and giant mechanical spiders.
Oh, and I liked, with the head thing, Kevin Kline's character, Artemis, whatever, you did the science of, look, the image, and it's like, it's not quite there. It's sort of blurry. Maybe there's an imbalance. And Will Smith, the more, you know, sort of practical, real world person, went, or you could put on the decapitated heads, glasses. Mm-hmm. And just sort of different ways of thinking about a problem.
Yes. Oh, no, that's the stuff right there.
Yeah. Multidisciplinary approaches.
I feel like we learned something today.
And also, as Brent had mentioned earlier, love the is mechanic goons who are like working in the boiler room. I'm like, have a Gordon West, you know, end up having to fight one an early on. I'm like, what are we fighting here? Or that is supposed to be a man, and yet it felt like I was punching iron.
So, like, earlier on in the movie?
Yeah, like...
Double down on the cyborgs.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're going to be involved in the climactic fight of your movie, you need to establish it a little bit more. Like, you could have had, like, a cybernetic enhancement more than the ear on mm-hmm. Bloodbath McGrath if you had him still in the movie.
You could have, instead of having those living paintings... Are those living paintings seriously going to be there all the fucking time? No, but if you put like a cyborg dude.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So do you have anything else, Al?
No, that's it.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm going to go.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'm going to take this a little, I'm going to fuck up the movie by a lot.
Woohoo!
That's fair.
Do it.
It's pretty much not going to be Wild Wild West anymore. First of all, I would shuffle this movie back by a bunch of years because the most emotional thing that has happened in this universe is the destruction of New Liberty, right? In New Liberty, that's apparently where the tank was tried for the first time. So, of course, it doesn't make sense that they have to demonstrate it a second time in front of the world powers. That's stupid. Why do that? Why distance ourselves from the one genuinely horrific thing in the film? Pull it back. Let's say we start with Jim West. He's working for the government, and he's finally gotten the lead to where his parents are.
Oh,
you're so...
Oh, I think he was like an army captain.
Yeah. So you're happy now, right? That sounds really sweet. He's on his way there.
Like, no,
the
I beginning see where of this
the
is
movie.
Going.
Beginning of the movie, he's like on this. His way there.
I don't like this.
And then that's when he hears the sound of the machine.
And then when he...
And he's level one, and, you know, his hometown's being destroyed, and starts his quest.
And then when they're in the field later, when they see the machine gun carnage, and Will Smith talks about the, you know, screams and the stuff because he's heard stories, then it could be because he, you know, heard it himself.
Oh.
But... Here's the thing. I'm tossing most of the fucking movie. I'm rewinding it a bit. So there he is. He has lost his family. He's lost a lot. And also symbolically, he's like, this was this town. It was a new start, much the way that he has embodied in a new start. And so he is now filled with a quest for revenge. But it's for the science thing. It makes no fucking sense. Who does it do? So he goes to Washington, and that's when Grant, understanding that perhaps he has a loose cannon here, and she needs to point it in a direction that's not the White House, connects him up with Artemis Gordon, who is the science guy who may be able to help figure this shit out. And from there... They're like, okay, you know, West is like, I'm going to go shoot something. And they're like, where are you going to shoot? I don't even know. Gordon's like, okay, bro, let's figure out. We haven't seen the thing yet. I actually want the monster to be this fucking tank. We haven't seen. We just see what its destruction was. We know what it sounds like. And so from there, Gordon sort of, we go over the scene. We get like some meaningful, like deep, Jim doesn't want to talk about this at all. Gordon's like, okay, so it sounds like, you know, this thing is happening. Let's go talk to, I have scientific connections. I have scientist buddies who may be able to give us more information. That's when they show up, like they go to MIT or something like that. And it's like, oh, so where's Bob? Oh, Bob hasn't been around for a couple weeks, man. Yeah. Weird.
Huh.
Totally wasn't kidnapped.
So we get like this building mystery. And from there... I want to make it a mystery. I want to make it like sort of this deep thing. But like, yeah, fuck it. You know, we can also find out more about our steampunk universe.
I like that.
Bob was working on this really cool thing. I have, you know, this and this. So, you know, there's this club that we were all part of. Oh, really? There was a club you were all part of? Like what? Oh, you know, let's see if we can find some of the other members. Oh, wait, they're all gone do.
Dun, dun, dun.
At the Loveless Cafe.
And then, you know, maybe Gordon is actually, like, Jim West has started to open up to Gordon. Like, you know, he's the first guy who's really, he's been able to tell about this experience. And Artemis has been really great about it. And then somebody fucking kidnaps Gordon.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, yeah.
And West is like, well, now I gotta kill everybody.
Honestly, Gordon is like 80% of my self-control.
And I mean, meanwhile, Gordon gets, you know, picked up. And so he has his own, like, whatever. It's respecting everybody's separate powers, everybody's separate skill sets, getting the emotion back together, and not having this stupid fucking useless rivalry.
One thing that just kind of came to mind, if you don't mind me kind of contributing to your idea here. One thing I kind of imagine is post Gordon getting kidnapped and now he has to like track down the spider and maybe there's a time crunch or something. Who knows? I'm almost picturing like maybe like another test run happened of the giant mechanical walking spider. But this time, instead of completely losing his composure, he tries and, you know, synthesizes what Gordon's been teaching him the entire movie beforehand.
Yes.
And starts trying to analyze the problem. And it's like, wait a second, whatever this did had to have left some tracks and starts maybe climbing up a mountain nearby or like some tower nearby, something like a mesa, who knows. And then that's when it's almost like that reveal in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade where you get the higher perspective and that's when you can actually see like the divots that were in the ground before, the mysterious holes that they've been kind of been curious about this entire time. Like there's always these big, deep holes around. What are these? Are they coming up from the ground? Weird. Mm-hmm. But no, it's actually the divots left from the spider legs because that thing weighs
a metric
several tons.
Technical term.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when he sees that it left a walking pattern leading away.
Yes.
And that's how he's able to track it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we can get, like, some really, like, some fucking payoff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, emotional and revenge. People like a good revenge story.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we can still deal with the fact that he's a black dude in the 1800s. That can be a thing. And this can be part of that thing without it being, guess what, we get to tell racist jokes because we're nominally the bad guys.
Yeah.
It's always awkward when that happens.
Like, the audience is laughing, but not really. We don't expect them to. Only bad guys would laugh. I don't know. It's some bullshit. Anyway, so that's what I would do. And in fact, like, it would not take much, I think, to rub off some serial numbers on this. And legit write it.
Do the thing.
Do the thing.
Fuck off, all of you. So that's me.
Okay.
All right. Then there was one.
Who is that? I don't think that's me.
It's actually our fifth sibling, Mortimer.
Mortimer?
It's young Octavius, actually.
It's Gwendolyn, you guys. But no, okay. And then there was me. Mm-hmm. So what I'm thinking is not a college AU or a coffee shop AU. Fuck both of you.
Damn it. I was
disappointed.
I specifically avoided pitching a coffee shop AU because of you, Pippin.
Yeah.
But let's be real. Gordon will be coming up with all these new machines.
Espresso.
Making better espressos.
Jim West would be making the coffee puns, though, for the menu.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. And Loveless...
Oh, we've lost her. She's gone
landlord?
Now. She's gone.
He's landlord or the owner of, like, a rival coffee shop, and Grant is the owner of theirs.
No, he's a Starbucks merchant. Not merchant. Starbucks franchise owner. They're the plucky, independent shop.
Well, no, Loveless has to own his own shop as well because it has to have something to do with spiders.
True.
Oh, good call.
And, yeah. Oh man, and he's like at some point they're being too hipster, and that's when you shave your beard like a spider.
He's so. Oh my god, he's such a hipster. Like his facial hair is so tidy. But, Pip, you said you weren't doing a coffee shop AU.
And here we are at a coffee shop AU.
Yep, and I'm not doing the college AU either, where they're all professors, except for Selma Hayek, who is the student who's kind of judging all of them. and Grant is the president of the university. I'm not doing that either.
Okay.
No, I'm there.
I'm sticking to the movie, you guys. Even though saying those other things sounds way more fun.
We have one more on-brand thing. Pip, are they gay?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, come on.
So what's your story? What's your story?
So I'm thinking, right? Selma Hayek. Mm-hmm. Criminally underused.
Yep.
She's an amazing actress, can do amazing stuff.
Yep.
Let's bring her up to the forefront, much like Brendan did. But instead of her being CIA, she herself is going to be one of the scientists.
Nice.
Ah.
Only she hasn't been kidnapped because of misogyny. Because how could a girl be a scientist, you guys?
Ah, yes. Oh, her husband got kidnapped because they assumed Dr. Escobar was him.
Must be him.
Oh, no.
It would happen.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it happens now, except for the kidnapping part, obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's the scientist. So she's trying to solve all of this from a scientific point of view, from her point of view. Jim West and Artemis Gordon are doing their things, but they're not going to be rivals because it's dumb. And they're not going to have that weird love rivalry over her because she's married and also they're gay.
Legit.
Maybe they're bi. The point is they're in love.
No love for the train conductor. I see how it is.
I mean, he might watches. Have a sweetie back home. Wow.
That's canon, okay? Canon.
I am not even going there.
Sorry, go on. You were saying.
And all those times where she does something, you know, kind of stupid, like with the gas bomb thing.
Yeah.
It isn't because she's, you know, in hysterics, for she is a woman. She actually has a plan. And she's not letting the boys in on it because they're being dumb.
Fair.
Yeah. Naturally.
Because if you see them, they're kind of being dumb.
Yeah.
Because even if they're not being, like, bitter rivals, they're still getting used to each other. And it's sort of affecting their choices. They're not trusting each other enough. So why is she going to trust them? You should trust each other. That's going to be the moral of the story. But she sets off the gas bomb on purpose to get onto the train.
Yeah.
And possibly leave the stupid boys behind because they're going to ruin everything. and that's how she infiltrates it. And she sciences the fuck out of things and saves the day.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think that Selma Hayek, you know, like Brandon mentioned earlier, needs more agency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she keeps being in all of these places because that's where she's meant to be. She doesn't keep getting dragged around. She's like, nope, I've got a plan.
Well, I'm very certain she was actually trying to get into Lovelace's places and Lovelace's mansion. She was there to try to see if the scientists were in the basement or something.
True.
Yeah.
She was trying to do that because she's a scientist. Oh, I remembered the other thing I was going to do.
Okay.
Okay.
Part of it was because I forgot something. So the TV show, The Wild Wild West, is actually classified as a weird Western.
Yes.
Mostly it's weird because they're leaning heavily on the steampunky aspect.
Mm-hmm.
A weird Western being a Western that mixes with any other genre. So Wild West, for the most part, mixes with steampunk, the science fiction element. And apparently there's an episode of The Wild Wild West which leans heavily into horror.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be fun if the Wild Wild West movie leaned more into the fantasy element?
Mm-hmm.
So part of this is science, and part of this is magic. Yes. And maybe that is how Lovelace can survive without his bladder, apparently. His spleen, his entire lower half. Because, yeah, you can survive without your legs, but without most of your organs, that gets difficult.
The second you say weird fiction, weird Western, I think of weird fiction, which immediately makes me think of Lovecraft, which means Elder God, giant spiders. What?
It all
That
connects.
Would make more sense.
It strangely would.
Yeah.
And magnets, how do they work?
Justifying our giant spiders, Pip? What the hell? I thought I knew you.
Listen, if we're going to have spiders because I don't like spiders, they better be fucking justified.
You guys know the story of the giant spider, right? Like the actual, like, where it comes from production-wise?
Oh my god, yes I do.
This is a theory, I guess, of Kevin Smith's. I guess he was doing the a script or a rewrite or something like that for Superman.
Mm.
And yes. The producer involved had three things that he's like, gotta have this. First of all, Superman cannot wear his suit. Superman cannot fly. And there has to be a giant spider in the third act.
A giant mechanical spider.
Giant mechanical spider in the third act. Now, strangely, Kevin Smith is like, no. And then suddenly, sometime later, the same producer is attached to this film and gets what's in the third act.
Well, here's the thing. There's another bit.
Oh.
Where the same producer had a script for a Sandman movie that has never happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sandman is incredibly difficult to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he wanted in that movie a giant mechanical spider in the third act.
Yeah.
This is according Good to Wikipedia, Lord. So.
Giant mechanical spiders are fun. What are you talking about, Pippin?
I do think giant mechanical spiders can be fun. I mean, to be fair, it is pretty cool. It's just not a justified one. But if you had the Elder Gods...
Then all sorts of weird shit is allowed.
And they're the ones who are... The etheric powers are the ones that are lifting up the metal so it doesn't actually collapse under its own weight. And
in the background, what? You could have a reference to the King of... in yellow.
There you go. See? It all comes together.
It all works in the end.
The yellow sign could be painted on the side of the bot. Cool.
One thing I'd establish, but just a little bit of like science lore and all that. We could have Selma Hayek kind of be a fictionalized Ada Lovelace.
Like the cartoon. You guys have seen Lovelace and Babbage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They solve crime.
Just when you say, like the cartoon. It was funny.
They solve crime, guys.
They do solve crime.
But not like but Selma Hayek could be like an expert at like logics and proto-computer programming.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I mean,
and that's how she can gum up the works of the giant mechanical spider.
I mean, for the longest time, computer science was women's work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think those are our versions. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah,
I think it sounds about right. I think Selma Hayek being a Mountie scientist is about the best we can do.
Yeah. You know what? I think you're right. So guys, that leaves us with a game.
A game.
A game. A game. A game. A game. A game.
Everybody ought to have a game.
Thank you. All right, so why don't we do Laundry Day, which is what is everyone doing when the plot isn't happening? You know, everyone's day-to-day activity.
I would like to know what sort of materials are being bought and sold that make metallurgy and metalworks this prevalent in this society. Because when you get steampunk going on, when you get all these inventions, it's an upping of the industrial period. Everything's getting pushed forward. What's going on with trade and taxes? And where are they getting all this metal? Is there shit going down in... Of course, we're doing hideous colonial things in other places, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening on Laundry Day. Colonialism.
That's what's happening every day.
Ugh. Well, I mean, that's the not so secret dirty underbelly of steampunk is colonialism.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I have gears on my hat. Oh, that's great. What's happening in Africa? Shut up.
Look at these gears. Don't look over at what's happening in India. What?
I have stuff that glows green on me. Green.
Don't look at the Middle East. Look at the green.
Green. Opium? What? Yay.
But so...
So that's my laundry day.
So you'd be like just not even focusing on the main characters. Nope. Is it your interest? You're just like, you know, let's look at the foundry systems. Let's look at how many tons of iron we're shipping in.
Well, I mean, part of what's going on in Wild Wild West is the are these other countries taking apart America and Grant and stuff like that. And it can't just, let's say it can't just be for the weapon system. This is a world that is being thrust forward faster than ours was in the industrial period. So what resources are being divvied up in order to further other people's industrialization?
The ether.
Ether, mineral rights, a lot of that. You have it was France or somebody who was taking over most of the Great Lakes. So that's a lot of water power.
And a lot more fur trappers.
it's one of my personal things. I'm very interested in how taxes and money and trade work. And I think that maybe that would be a cool thing to focus on.
Yeah.
The end.
Okay. Some of us have very nerdy,
oh yes.
Fixations.
Someday I will tell the story of the multi-part series I wrote about somebody getting interested in health insurance. But today is not that day.
Okay. Well, speaking about nerding out stuff, my idea for this game, I want to go and look into Artemis Gordon's Workshop of Wonders.
Ah, goddammit.
Yeah, I know.
Ha ha, jerks. Now you guys get to scramble and make something up. Ha ha. No, because I just imagine on the off days, he's just inventing all sorts of crazy bullshit. Like, I think you mentioned Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at one point. We were talking about that. Just kind of like Dick Van Dyke's character and that, just making all sorts of, like, weird mechanical contraptions that make him breakfast. Why? Why the hell not? Let's just make a breakfast machine today. That kind of stuff. Kind of like what you do nowadays with, like, your Internet of Things devices and, you know, that new fixation, but just done with steampunk.
Or have you seen the Queen of Crappy Robots on YouTube? Like her.
Yeah, shitty robots, yeah.
She says crappy robots when she's on television. It's adorable.
Ah.
But yeah, she's the queen of shitty robots. That and like mixed with like maybe Doc Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many Rube Goldberg machines.
Oh man, I'm trying to think of like making a time machine out of something.
Oh. And then maybe he could travel back in time to back where the Air Gordon's joke works.
Jim, we gotta go back. Back to the joke.
Oh my god, what if he invents a time machine to go back to New Liberty?
Aww. Way to bring it down. Yeah,
Artemis.
But no, Jim, we can't do that.
Yeah, he'd be the buzzkill.
We can't mess with time that way.
We'd create a divergent timeline, Jim. He'd be Spock all of a sudden.
Jim, no.
I was gonna say this is an episode of Doctor Who waiting to happen.
Aww. Oh, poor Jim. Aww. He can go back in time, but he can't change his past.
Aww. That's a fucking tagline right there.
Oh, all right. So we have our World of Wonders, which, you know, the second you said it, I'm like, hey, why the fuck didn't we get to see his lab?
We kind of did with the train-ish. Yeah.
But it was the government's train. And it was like, it was, what was the conductor's name?
Holden or whatever?
Yeah, it was Holden's baby. He just knew who was on it and made some adjustments.
Now, I'm sticking to my lots of crackpot inventions that make breakfast and stuff like that.
You didn't get to see him with a soldering iron, man. That's what science is, isn't it? Soldering irons? Flamethrowers? Yes.
I don't think they did soldering back in the 1800s.
Oh. Yeah, they must have done.
Selma Hayek did.
Oh, yeah. So when did they start doing that?
No, you guys talk. I'm going to find out because I need to know now.
All right. So is that your thing?
Yeah.
So if Alex doesn't mind, I'm going to jump in.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm still going to do Gordon and do it slightly differently because you're looking at his scientific inventions. And I'm looking at all of his costumes.
Oh, no.
And he has to sew those himself.
Well, he has demonstrated knitting.
Yeah, we saw him knitting the impermeable thing.
Which is just chainmail.
It was just fucking chainmail.
Yeah. It really fucking was.
Yeah.
But so we saw him doing that, and, you know, he pointed to the needlepoint thing that he did. So he clearly knows his way around some crafts. And those costumes are fitted to his size and has all his secret pockets, so he has to be making them himself.
Guys.
Question.
Sorry, brief interruption. There is evidence that soldering was employed as early as 5,000 years ago in Mesopotamia. Thank you very much. With the invention of tin. So,
well, but a soldering iron.
Oh, for God's sake.
Anyway, but speaking about knowing measurements, Pip, where did Jim West get the costume to infiltrate the lady's costume?
The Ebonia costume? Does that mean that?
Oh, God. I mean, it's implied that it was left among the costumes that were Gordon's.
Or did Gordon make it for him that night on the train?
Here's the thing. Either way, it's kind of gay.
Yeah.
because they're in love. And I want you... I'm sorry, just...
We lost her again.
Just the hijinks that happen when they're getting dressed in the dark and they wear the same size. and just the wild things that they show up wearing to go see President Grant.
Yeah.
Oh, did they make a game of it?
Not the first few times, but eventually they're all like, fuck it, we might as well make a game of it. But yeah, you know, at some point, I'm not sure when the sewing machine was invented, but Gordon may have invented it. And if it already existed, then he made a really extra version, possibly with Nitro, because they love them some Nitro in that movie.
Yeah.
That was a good line, though. This is not how you transport Nitro.
That actually brings up the quick question. Did people talk like that back in the 1800s?
Yeah, I give that a pass.
A pass.
That was one of my complaints, if you recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And does Nitro work like that?
I mean, nitroglycerin, yeah, it's highly reactive.
Did they have Nitro then?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do I know?
TNT.
Try nitro-toluene.
Okay, you can't throw those science words at me. I am just a poor English major.
Excuse you, so
alone in this world.
And I only have a BA. And I knew that one.
Incidentally, Pip, the sewing machine was credited to have been invented in 1790.
Really? When was this movie? 18-something.
It's in 1869.
1894 is when a company started beginning the manufacturing of electric soldering irons. To be fair, that's because they were electric. Because electricity.
Electric.
Up until the late 1800s, they were all heated by open flame or burning coals.
I'm just saying that Gordon invented an extra sewing machine and also the soldering iron.
I agree with that.
That can work.
And he just sits up all night sewing and humming to himself.
Crocheting.
He does it all.
Okay, Al?
What I want to see is Jim West find his reports after everything that happens. June 6, 1800 hours. Put on a harem outfit. Dance for Loveless.
What if they were all in the style of those Civil War letters from Dear Ulysses, I miss you, my darling.
The archives.
On this, the first day of June, I donned a dress and danced for a legless man.
Who murdered my family.
The smell of cordite is in my nose, and I dream of you, my president.
I want...
These are the most trying times of my life.
I want everyone to appreciate the archives that have those letters.
Thank you, Madam Librarian.
Yeah. And the finding aids. And do they still have Gordon's costumes? The display in the library of Gordon's costumes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we all just had the exact same thought, and... exclamation.
Well, to be fair, you know that you all had the same exclamation. You do not know that you all had the same thought.
The museum exhibit of the West, guys.
Like in fucking D.C.
Poor museum docent just going like, ah, this is the costume that Artemis Gordon wore as a French fur trapper.
Trying to be really fucking serious. Oh my God, Nicolas Cage discovering the true history of the giant spider rebellion.
Nicolas Cage has to steal the plans.
Yeah, we thought it was just like a clever, like, oh, that's just like the name of some spy ring. And then Nicolas Cage, like, no, there was really a giant spider. Tracking it down and finding it. Indiana Jones pops up. It's like, this belongs in a museum.
And then it starts collapsing around him.
Oh, we could have Nicolas Cage or Indy throwing one of those mystery billiard balls that nobody bothered to throw.
And the Cybermen are still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah, but they're that's all like amazing. Rotted and stuff.
Yeah.
But then somebody enters, I don't know, like the workshop, and that turns on the etheric waves, which powers them all on again.
Oh, great. Now we have a bunch of Frankensteins.
Frankenstein zombies. And yeah. Thank you, that's a moneymaker.
There Boom. We go.
I'd much rather watch this follow-up movie.
True facts.
Same. True facts.
So, I think we've...
I think we have a winner on that one.
Yeah. Though, actually, I think that's Pip's winner, isn't it? I was just talking about... Oh, I'm writing his reports. You're the one who brought up the archives. And then we all had the same idea.
And we all thought it was... Awesome.
In fairness, it is a pretty dang cool idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cool.
Wait, so is it Pip's win, or are we all winners this time?
I think we're all winners.
It's the friends we made along the way.
Is it okay if I pretend that it's my win?
Yes, yeah. Darling. If
whatever,
that's what you
whatever
need.
Makes you happy,
sure,
Pippin.
Go ahead.
Whatever makes you happy.
Okay, hey, guys, don't tell Pippin, but this means she's got to write it. Okay?
Wait,
okay?
No?
Yeah, okay, good.
That's some bullshit
we're all agreed,
right there.
Right? Awesome, good. Hey, Pip. Hi.
Hey, Kat.
Yeah?
How's your writing going?
Oh, look, Brendan. Hey, are we doing the credits now?
Why, look, a shiny change of subject.
So that was Wild Wild West. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostorysacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostorysacred. Or send an email through contact@nostorysacred.com.
We've been getting people commenting, by the way, on Twitter, talking about the stories that they would write based on what we've been talking about. And just FYI, people, we love that. And then we will tell you to write it. So please go ahead and like do the thing.
Do the thing.
Do the thing.
Do the thing. Do the thing.
Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostorysacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostorysacred. See you next time when we talk about and take a stab at Shakespeare's Julius Caesar.
Unnecessary.
Totally necessary.
I feel dirty.
Hey, just because it was my pun, you don't have to.
Until then, we're No Story Sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Alex.
I'm Kat.
I'm Pippin.
And I'm Brendan.
And we're
No Story Sacred.